talking baseball. The Giants by the Bay.
KNBR 680 presents.
There's a drive deep into right field, way back there. Goodbye.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie.
Here's his windup. Here's the pitch. He struck it out.
Sponsored by Perry's, a San Francisco institution since 1969, known for good food, good drinks, and good people. Coming to Marin County this summer. And by Supercuts, leave feeling clean, sharp, and ready to go.
Now your Giants pregame host Marty Lurie on the Sports Leader.
Hello, everybody, and good morning, and welcome to Talkin' Baseball here on this Monday morning. I know if you're looking for Gary and Larry and Kate, they are off today, but we've got baseball today as this Labor Day weekend comes to a close, and it's been an interesting weekend so far for the San Francisco Giants. On Friday night, they don't get a win. And that losing streak went to seven games, and then on Saturday they get a nice win. And yesterday, Madison Bumgarner goes out in six tough innings. The bullpen once again perfect for the Giants, and they ended up beating the Rockies 7-4 and get out of Colorado. 10 games in Colorado, 5-5, and move on with this mosaic of this grinding baseball season. Now is happily into the desert at Chase Field, as the Giants open up a three-game series with the Diamondbacks down there. Giants are 5-1 in Arizona, 1-6 against the Snakes up here in San Francisco, so that adds up to 6-7. Mike Leake will be on the hill today for the Giants on this Labor Day. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a second. But Mike Leake, 9-7 on the year with a .349 earned run average. As a Giant, Mike Leake, Raph, he gets as much support as we do. He got 6 runs of support in his 4 games. That's all he's gotten. He's gone 25 2/3 innings. That's over 6 a game. 20 hits, 9 runs, 3 homers, 4 walks, 18 strikeouts, and really has done everything the Giants could ask of Mike Leake, except maybe exercising properly and having that hamstring issue that knocked him out of a couple of starts. But he really has pitched well. Down against Arizona, he's in 7 starts. He's 4-0. With a big earned run average, 4.84, but the Reds got runs for him, and he won games against the Diamondbacks. He has not seen them this year. Lefty's hitting .256 with 12 of his 17 homers, and righty's .213. He's gone 162 innings, so he's a qualifier for the earned run average. You have to go 162. 143 hits, 17 homers, 38 walks, 108 strikeouts. We talked a lot about pitchers who would come back to San Francisco. The Giants should consider signing this guy. Absolutely, they should consider signing. He keeps the ball down. He's tenacious. He works quickly. He's a good hitter. He's a good fielder. And he has an idea of the strike zone. And I like that about Mike Leake. He is 27 years old out of ASU, so somewhat of a homecoming for him today. Pat Corbin's on the other side of the coin today for the Diamondbacks. He's a lefty. Not Matt Harvey. He had Tommy John surgery, but he's coming back slowly. Boy, the Matt Harvey controversy rages on as the Mets and Washington will begin a series today. Jonathan Nease and Scherzer there. Matt Harvey says he's going to pitch. All right, well, let's see how that works out. But, boy, the New York press, the fans, everybody all over him, including Dwight Gooden, said, what's going on? I got the ball. I was 20 years old, and I threw 250 innings. So that's baseball today. But Pat Corbin is on the hill. He's 4-3 with a .367 earned run average. Only 26 years old, and I said coming back from Tommy John surgery. Only a 61st Major League start. He's got 24 wins, 19 strikeouts. Giants have been doing really well against lefties until they ran into that streak with that losing streak, and they couldn't beat a lefty. They did beat Johan Flande yesterday. They got him out after 5 innings. So they're about 19-16 now against left-handed starters, so that is where they're at right now. Lefties against Corbin, 188 with a homer. Righties, 284 with 8 homers. And the Giants have seen him when he first came off the disabled list. 5 innings, 4 hits, a couple of runs, a walk, and 5 strikeouts. His last two, and I think this is what you got to look at, because this Tommy John stuff, you come back and you're inconsistent. 6 1/3, 6 1/3, both against St. Louis and Colorado. 10 hits, only 3 runs. 2 walks and 11 strikeouts, so his last two have been much better for Corbin. So you never know what you're going to get with him, but he is a pitcher that knows what to do with the baseball. I'll tell you this, And I look at pitches, 31 through 45, and figure that's what? Maybe the second inning, second to third inning. Five homers given up on those pitches in that part. So maybe he's thrilled to get out of the first inning, feels good, comes out in the second inning, and lays a couple of pitches right in there. So we'll see how it turns out. But it's the Giants that last 18 on the road. They're 4-14, and they go here against Arizona today. They're 7.5 as play starts today behind the Dodgers. 8 in the loss column, 25 games to go. As I've said, you just want to pick up 4 over these next 17 games and make the last 7 or 8 relevant, and you never can tell what can happen in baseball. All right, it is Labor Day, and we like to talk about the different holidays, Memorial Day and 4th of July and Labor Day, and they all seem to intersect with the baseball season in a very meaningful way. If you're leading your division or you're leading your league on Labor Day, generally you were pretty good. You played about 130, 35 games, so they know who you are and you're ready to, you know, take it in to the end of the season. So Labor Day always was a very important marker. It also was the end of the summer, so to speak. People were off vacation, and the march and race to the finish would take place. But Labor Day, important holiday in the United States, and I want to just share some of these things with you. The first Labor Day holiday was celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th, 1882, in New York City, in accordance with the plans of the Central Labor Union. The Central Labor Union held its second Labor Day holiday just a year later, in 1883. In 1884, the first Monday in September, which this is, was selected as the holiday as originally proposed, and the Central Labor Union urged similar organizations in other cities to follow that and create a working man's holiday on that date. So the idea spread, and Labor Day came about. Now, there is an intersection with baseball that I'm going to get to here in just a second, but I want to tell you a little bit more. The character of the Labor Day celebration has undergone a change in recent years, especially in large industrial centers where mass displays and huge parades have proved to be a problem. But we always saw Labor Day addresses by union officials, industrialists, educators, clerics, and government officials. And boy, when you have an election coming up, wait till next Labor Day and you hear all the speeches that take place. But the vital force of labor, this is what it's all about. Added materiality to the highest standard of living and the greatest production the world has ever known, and has brought us closer to the realization of our traditional ideals of economic and political democracy. It's appropriate, therefore, that this is the key, that the nation pay tribute on Labor Day to the creator of so much of the nation's strength, freedom, and leadership, the American worker. That includes Raf and Matt and everyone here with Cumulus, the people that make all this happen. And you know who you are out in the world, the workforce that drives this country. So Labor Day, that's the issue, is to honor people in the workforce that make this thing happen in this country. All right, how does it all affect baseball? And I always say there's a way that baseball intersects with American culture. And as you look at the history of baseball, baseball changes as America changes. Well, keep in mind, 1880s, right? This is when Labor Day first came about. The industrialists were happening. We were changing from an agrarian society to an industrial society. The Players National League of Professional Baseball Clubs, known as the Players League, sometimes called the Players League, was a short-lived but star-studded professional American baseball league of the 19th century. It emerged from the Brotherhood of Professional Baseball Players, the first sports players union. So unions happening in the country, baseball got wind of it, and the players said, we want our own league. We're going to make the Players League. They called it the Brotherhood League and included most of the best players of the National League. Brotherhood members were led by the famous John Montgomery Ward of the National League. He left the league and formed the Players League, and after failing to change the lopsided player-management relationship with the National League, the Reserve Clause. They objected to the Reserve Clause way back then. They said, we're going to create our own league. The Players League lasted just 1 year. It was 1890, and the Boston franchise won the championship. Although known to historians as the Players League, newspapers often report the standings with the shorthanded titles of League for the National League, Association for the American Association, which we call the Old Beer and Whiskey League, and Brotherhood for the Players League. That's how that name came about. The Players League was well attended in some cities, but was underfunded, and its owners lacked the confidence to continue beyond one season. Now, in 1968, a committee appointed by Major League Baseball Commissioner William Eckert ruled that the Players League was a major league. So all those records and things of the 1890 season counts in Major League Baseball. All right, so this is what happens, and this is the interesting part. So we know the Players League exists. It's underfunded. It goes away after a year, and the players go back to the National League or the American Association. However, one player didn't do that, and it was a very famous person in baseball history, and he was the one who didn't do it. His name was Lou Bierbauer. Now, Lou Bierbauer played for the Philadelphia Athletics, but when all the players went back to their leagues, he didn't go back. So the Pittsburgh Alleghenies said, gee, I'm going to go and find Lou Bierbauer. And their owner, Ned Hanlon, the manager, went over ice and mountains and everything to find this guy, and he signed him, and he ended up playing for the Pittsburgh Alleghenies. It was such a big deal that this man was taken from the American Association to the Pittsburgh Alleghenies that they called the Pittsburgh team the Pirates. And that's how the Pirates got their name, from the famous Lou Bierbauer incident. And that's how they were the Pittsburgh Alleghenies, and all of a sudden now they were the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that's a true story. So that's how baseball intersects with Labor Day and also the interesting history of baseball. Now, the other important thing about the Players League, the Brotherhood League, they had ballparks, and they were used for a while. The most prominent of these was the new Polo Grounds, originally constructed for the New York Giants of the Players League. And it served afterwards as the home of the National League's New York Giants. Yes, these Giants, El Gigantes, they played in the Polo Grounds from 1891 to 1957. It was rebuilt in steel and concrete in 1911. And the New York Mets, of course, had their first two seasons there. It is also the site of many other famous sporting events for 75 years of existence. The Polo Grounds doesn't happen, but for the Brotherhood League and the Players League, and they went to a polo field and created a baseball field out of that, and that's where the Willie Mays catch happened. Mel Ott, our good friend on Twitter, played, and everything else happened. So it all goes back to the labor unions, to the Brotherhood League, to the Polo Grounds, to the Giants. It all makes sense in baseball. The other field that came out of a sort of a silent league was the Federal League in 1914, and they created Wrigley Field. That's how Wrigley Field came about, and it stayed that way ever since. So that's a little bit of the story of Bierbauer, the Pittsburgh Pirates, Labor Day, what it means, and how baseball reflects the American culture. So I know it took a little time to do that. Baseball's coming up, but that's what Labor Day is all about, and that's how it affected baseball as well. And we used to have doubleheaders on Labor Day, exciting time. Well, now the pennant races are still exciting. We'll go through the schedule today and tell you who's playing. There's some big series starting today. Of course, this one here with Arizona. The Dodgers go to the Angels today to play. The Mets, with their circus right now, is in Washington. That's a good one. The Cubs and the Cardinals. So Labor Day holds a lot of baseball for everybody. So that's my story this morning on Periscope. I hope you enjoyed it. You got to see me talk about it. And, of course, everyone on KMBR 680. All right, so Matt Leland's running the show. Raf is here. We've got a lot of good guests for you, and we'll come back. We'll set up a little bit more of this game today and go through the schedule and tell you what is going on around baseball today on Labor Day. All right, more coming up right here in KMBR 680, the sports leader.